This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman out on the road today in the studio, Sierra Doctor and Randy Conan. Crop Watch starts today's program brought to you by Veristo Herbicide from BASF, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Proceed, Prairie Industries, and Bayer Crop Science. We are in Christine, North Dakota, talking with Bayer Customer Business Advisor Adam Sipp. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have going on here today. You're putting in some plots.
We got a corn plot going in. Most of the corn is wrapping up here, so I think this is our last one for this DeKalb rep. We're going to put about 10 to 12 of our current and new hybrids and just see how each of them stacks up in this area against each other.
How's it been going getting things in the ground?
Really good and then slow. We've been catching rain, it seems like every 3 days. This one, I think we had to reschedule. This is probably the fourth or fifth time now, I think.
Timing this year, we've heard compared to last year, maybe sitting a little bit better anyway.
Definitely ahead of schedule compared to last year, behind the average, you could say. But the first half of May, we really don't make much GDUs. So the second half of May is where you stack up GDUs. And then especially the summer is where we can make up for late planting. So a lot of optimism.
And things producers should have in mind right now?
Get pre-emerges on any of the soybeans that you've put on, or corn even, if you've got some problem fields. Definitely get those on. Don't wait. And then be checking emergence as things do come along. Love to catch rain once everything's in and maybe fix a few mistakes or whatever and get things going on a good start. Definitely start thinking about weed control. There's wheat that we're going to have to spray here end of the week already.
Anything else we should touch on before we let you go?
Just be safe and yeah, give me a call if you need anything.
All right. Well, Adam Sipp joining us here on the Red River Farm Network. Crop Watch continues. We are talking with Jay Nord just outside of Wolverton, Minnesota. Tell us what you've got going on here in the field right now.
We're doing our last bean field and we finished corn on Sunday. And I have a little bit more wheat to replant this afternoon. Then we'll hopefully be done planting for 2023.
How have things been going this year? What's weather conditions been like? I know at the very beginning it was a little bit touch and go with no kind of holding things back and rain here and there.
Yeah, we had the wheat planted before the rain hit again, and some of that got puddled on so it didn't grow. But where we've been patient, it's actually a very good seed bed and everything went really well.
You said you're getting close to wrapped up here. How does that compare to prior years? How are you feeling as you finish this up?
I think we're feeling pretty good. 3 weeks ago, we were in kind of panic mode, and it turned out really well. I hate to say it, but we really could use a quarter inch of 3/10 tonight, but there's a lot of neighbors with a lot of work left to do that probably would hope it would wait. But actually, if we don't get rain tonight, the forecast is none for another week. So I think this area, if you give it another 3-4 days, will pretty much be wrapped up. So everybody be safe out there. I know how tired I am and everybody else is tired. You got to be more careful now.
Jay Nord joining us, Crop Watch continuing, Holly, Minnesota, talking with Evan Purrington, Hefty Seeds. Tell us a little bit about how things are going in the field so far this spring.
Things are going pretty great. We had a little slow start this spring with how the weather was, but now that we got some nice weather, things are really taking off. Guys are in the field for long hours, socking that crop in hard and fast. Things are looking good, need some more time. Some people are finishing up. A few other people have ways to go, but we'll get there.
Moisture situation so far this spring, I know as we kind of have gone south, things got stalled a little bit with some heavier rains. What are you seeing in this area?
In this direct holly area, we've had some rains that have slowed guys down a little bit, but not too bad. I've seen a lot of this moisture soaking in really well, so that's been great. The only issues have been some low spots or weird areas that are holding water longer than normal. So those guys might have to come back and do some reseeding. But other than that, for the most part, it didn't hold us back too much.
For this area, as far as individual, you know, corn, soybeans, about where would you gauge things?
That's really hard to say. I'm in a very variable area, and every grower is a little bit different. I have guys that are just getting started rolling. I have people that are finished up and already working on preparing to spray wheat. The higher, sandier ground, guys got in pretty early and were able to get going and things dried out faster. And then I have people that still have some wet fields that they aren't sure when they're going to get into.
Evan Purrington joining us here on the Red River Farm Network, continuing our crop watch here today. We are just outside of Barnesville, Minnesota, talking with Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association President Jake Thompson. Tell us how things are going in the field, what you're working on right now.
Things are going pretty good. We're currently on soybeans. Hopefully I'll be finishing up today or maybe early tomorrow. We've got about 120 acres left of corn on some ground that's a little bit too wet, so we decided to switch over on beans here end of last week. So hopefully, we're just saying based on what rain we get tonight or tomorrow, maybe we'll get into that and hopefully finish that up here in the next couple days.
And you've got sugar beets done in the ground already here. How are those looking?
Beets are looking pretty good. It was pretty good conditions going in, so we've got a couple fields that are up to two leaf type stage, another field that's fighting a little bit of crust. So some of those are still popping through, but overall stand counts are pretty good. Weed pressure is coming a little bit, not awful, but they're going to need to be sprayed pretty soon, especially with this warm weather. And we had some small grains that are up. They're looking pretty good. We could use a little bit of a drink of water on some of this stuff. Probably wouldn't be the end of the world, but otherwise, yeah, everything's coming along pretty well.
And here a couple weeks ago, you guys did get some moisture. How did you fare through that? I know there was kind of a line along that I-94 corridor here.
Yeah, so actually where we're sitting here right now, we had a field to the south of here as well that I believe got about 1 3/4 to 2 inches of rain when we at the farm about 4 miles east of here had just a less under an inch. So that's why we're kind of worked our way back over in this direction now that it's heated up and dried up a little bit. So it's definitely good to get some of them timely rains. The alfalfa and pastures are coming pretty well.
Jake Thompson joining us. This has been Crop Watch, brought to you by Verista Herbicide from BASF, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Proceed, Prairie Industries, and Bayer Crop Science. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven held a Farm Bill Roundtable discussion with members of the Fargo-Moorhead-West Fargo Chamber of Commerce's Agribusiness Committee. Hoeven was happy with the turnout of agriculture leaders and innovators.
Well, this was the Fargo-Moorhead-West Fargo Chamber, their Ag Committee. Just a good chance to have a lot of the business people, folks from NDSU, Grand Farm, people involved in agriculture, get together and really talk about the Farm Bill and our work to get a new Farm Bill passed this year, hopefully this year, if not this year, certainly by next year, and making sure that we have the right priorities in that Farm Bill.
Hoeven says crop insurance is, of course, the number one priority.
We always start out with the fundamentals, and that's, of course, first, thanks to our farmers and ranchers. We have the highest quality, lowest cost food supply in America that benefits every single American every single day. So the Farm Bill really benefits all Americans. It starts with prioritizing crop insurance and the countercyclical safety net. Those two things are really the engine that drives the car, vitally important for our farmers, but like I say, benefit every single American. And then we go on to things like the importance of the sugar program, programs that help our cattle ranchers, but always making sure that everything we do is farmer friendly.
The House Agriculture Committee held a meeting this morning to evaluate the effectiveness of the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and Farm Service Agency. Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Duchenau stressed the importance of the CRP program.
Our conservation programs really fall in 2 to 3 different buckets. First is our Conservation Reserve Program, and that is our largest private lands conservation program, one of the largest in the United States. And through CRP, we pay an annual rental rate to producers on a voluntary basis to engage in conservation measures that help preserve soil health and improve soil health for the future, improve wildlife habitat, and give them another option as they contemplate the economic realities of being an ag producer in this country.
Duchenau says the uptick of acres in CRP shows how successful the program has become.
Last year, 5.1 million acres total entered into CRP through our various signups, surpassing the 3.9 million acres that exited the program. So we had a net gain of a little over 1 million acres. While the grassland signup is currently ongoing and open, we've received over 15,000 offers covering 1.1 million acres for general signup for CRP. The 2018 Farm Bill established a rising acreage cap for CRP that tops out at 27 million acres this year. And when we came to town, we saw that as a target. So we made some adjustments to the soil rental rates where data supported such an adjustment, increased payment for practice incentives, and increased payment for water quality practices.
The new Ag Homestead Tax Credit is seen as a highlight of the Minnesota legislative session. Minnesota Soybean Growers Association past president Jamie Beyer says this policy change will cut the farmers' tax burden by $21 million statewide in 2024.
Ag land gets valued, and depending on whether on the total amount, some of that gets kicked out into what's called a first tier value, which is taxed at a lower value than the second tier. So by increasing the cap on the first tier value, we're able to qualify more of that ag land under that lower value and avoid the second tier higher property tax valuation.
Buyer said this concept came from the grassroots level.
This was actually an initiative that was brought through the MSGA resolution process in 2021. And so to have it enacted already in 2023 is pretty exciting, and we have lots of people to thank for that.
The wheat market continues to lead the grains. Bauer Trading market analyst Ben Cash says wheat continues to be very choppy.
For the most part today, really not sure where it wants to head. We've seen that KC market up over 20 cents early on near the opening and starting to fade a little bit. So it seems like some spread action going on in the wheat market, maybe some position unwinding. I know that KC was last week over a record over Chicago wheat, so I think that trade is starting to see some profit taken on that, and that's why you're seeing such a volatile intraday trade for wheat.
Go to rrfn.com and sign up for our weekly Red River Farm Network e-newsletter. FarmNet News hits your email inbox every Monday. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Ford Motor Company has reversed its previous decision and will keep AM radio in its new vehicles. Ford is also offering a software update to provide AM broadcast capabilities in its electric vehicles. The choice to remove AM radio from the dashboard was met with opposition from the agriculture community, radio stations, and lawmakers.
NDSU Pulse crop breeder Nonoy Bandilio says planting for peas and lentils has mostly wrapped up for the season and test plots are in the ground. The next step is to keep an eye out for disease.
Well, always look out for disease, potential disease. And there's so many diseases available in pulse crops and that could cause substantial damages to the productivity or seed yield of pulse crops. I would say asco blight, that's one thing. And the other thing is Fusarium root rot. The other one is the Aponomyces root rot, which I would say when it impacts the field, I think that there's a possibility of farmers could not get yield at all.
Bandilio says best practices is to prevent disease are crop rotation, seed selection, and seed treatment.
The higher the moisture or the precipitation, the higher the probability that fungal diseases will show up and also other bacterial-associated disease. From a breeding perspective, what I could suggest is for farmers are to use, if possible, cultivars with some level of resistance against, you know, those diseases that I mentioned. And number two, seed treatment and having a cleaner ground, I think, also help. And crop rotation also help in terms of breaking the disease cycle.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon. July wheat Minneapolis is 10 and 3/4 cents higher at 820 and a quarter. September is 11 and 3/4 higher. Chicago July wheat 15 and 3/4 higher at 622. Kansas City July wheat's up 14 and a half at 840 and a quarter. July corn 6 and 3/4 cents higher at 577 and 3/4. December 6 and a half higher at 515 and a half. July soybeans 19 and 3/4 cents lower at 1321 and a half. And November soybeans are down 9 and 3/4 cents at 1187. Canola is 460 a metric ton higher. Thanks for joining us. Have a good afternoon. This is the Red River Farm Network.